panjang terbentang. Hambat untuk bantuku, hamba sujud tak lepas kening hamba mengingat.
From Jakarta, here is Voice of Indonesia with Indonesia Today. News, information, and entertainment from Indonesia, only on Indonesia Today.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. Member countries of ASEAN expressed their concern about the ongoing crisis in Myanmar at the 58th ASEAN Foreign Ministers meeting in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on Wednesday. Foreign Minister Sugiono said that regarding Myanmar, we want peace in the country after attending the 58th AMM in Kuala Lumpur on Wednesday. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto attended a state luncheon hosted by Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva at the Itamaraty Place, the headquarters of Brazil's Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Brasilia on Wednesday, July 9th. Prabowo's office released several photos showing him and Lula seated side by side at the round table. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
But even with gin and surging adrenaline, I see you're all that can intoxicate. Oceans and engines, you're skilled at infringing on gray love affairs. Cause now my heart's home, all I've known is long gone and 10,000 miles away. And I'm not okay, but I'm letting go. I'm giving up the ghost, but don't get me wrong, I'll always love you, that's why I wrote you this way.
Digital with New Look, various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello, welcome to the afternoon talk of Voice of Indonesia. In today's special segment titled Synergy Between Pongok Village in the Red and White Cooperatives, we'll explore how local collaboration and cooperative programs can drive inclusive growth in villages. Joining us is Dian Salsabila, Deputy Head of Business of Pongok Village Cooperative, to share how the Red and White Cooperatives supports village empowerment and economic resilience. Hello, good afternoon, Badian.
Good afternoon, Mia.
How are you, Badian?
I'm good, thank you. And how about you?
I'm good, thank you. Let's jump right into the questions. The theme of this year's 78th National Cooperative Day is Advance Cooperative, A Just and Prosperous Indonesia. This theme reflects the spirit of rebuilding the strength of cooperative and as an economic business system based on mutual cooperation and also family. As stated in Article 33, Paragraph 1 of the 1948 Constitution. How do you see the development of cooperatives in Indonesia, especially with the existence of the Red and White Cooperative?
Okay, so the development of cooperative in Indonesia has seen ups and downs, and yet they remain the backbone of the people's economy. Cooperatives serve as an alternative solution to the inequality created by an overly capitalistic economic system. Through the spirit of mutual cooperation and familial values, cooperatives are able to reach the grassroots level of society, and in this context, cooperatives drive economic independence in village and among micro, small, and medium enterprises. And for cooperative Merah Putih emerged as a symbol of the cooperative movement's revival, carrying the spirit of nationalism and innovation. And it's not only upholds the core values of cooperative, but also respond to modern challenges through the digitalization and strengthening members' business ecosystems. And with the theme Advanced Cooperative and A Just and Prosperous Indonesia, the direction of national economic development further affirms the strategic of role of cooperative. The government and society are called upon to strengthen the institutional capacity, management, and the governance of cooperative, and regulatory support, access to financing, and multi-stakeholder collaboration are key to the success of the cooperative movement. And when managed properly, the cooperative can help realize the vision of a just and prosperous Indonesia through the collective strength of the people.
Wow, okay. And what programs does the Red and White Cooperatives offer for the Pongok Klaten, especially for the Pongok Klaten Cooperative?
So, the Koperasi Desa Merah Putih offers a numbers of programs designed to strengthen the village economy, and including for the Koperasi Pongok in Klaten. So these programs include institutional capacity building, market access facilitation, and assistance in managing productive business. And the main focus is to build the sustainable collaboration between village cooperative and wider market networks. So in general, Koperasi Merah Putih acts as a village marketing partner that reach the local products with the regional and the national networks.
And then that's the programs, but what steps must be taken to establish or develop a cooperative in a village through the Red and White program?
So it's actually the three steps, and the first thing to do is to raise the awareness among the villagers about why cooperative matter, and not just as a business, but as something they can own and manage together. And this done through the regular discussions and training, so people really feel involved from the start. And the next step is to, the cooperative needs to be set up for refresh with a clear structure. And the team from Koperasi Merah Putih help villagers with things like writing the rules, choosing the leaders, and also the officially registering the cooperative. They also help map out what kind of business best fits the village and provide business plans and management buyers, management with the tools, and also provide the management tools. And the last is the cooperative connects with buyers, distributors, and then the online platform so that the village products can reach wider markets. And this helps make the cooperative not just functional, but profitable and impactful for the whole community.
There's a lot of tries, and also provide a provider that gave this program, and of course supporting this program so this program could be really successful. And I want to know, what benefits and impacts can village communities gain from the Red and White cooperative program?
Also, it's the Cooperative Merah Putih program. It provides a lot of benefits for the rural communities, especially by expanding market access and increasing household income. And with an integrated cooperative system, villagers no longer depend on middlemen who have often taken unfair advantage of farmers and fishermen. So Cooperative Merah Putih replaced the role of this middleman with a fairer and more transparent system where prices are agreed upon collectively and profits are returned to the members. As a result, the villagers gain greater control over their product value and enjoy more equitable economic returns. So, and in the medium term, the program changed the distribution pattern of the production as village cooperative begin to manage post-harvest processes such as packaging, standardization, and marketing to the modern markets. And this not only remove dependence on external parties, but also improve the competitiveness of village products in broader markets. And by eliminating the middleman, we gain more profit flows directly to local producers and accelerate the village economic cycle. And so the people are more motivated to increase their productivity because their efforts economically valued. And for the long term, the presence of Cooperative Merah Putih contributes to the creation of self-sufficient, fair, and sustainable village economic system. Through cooperative, village can manage their own resources from upstream to downstream without harmful market inference. And this not only increases household income, but also fosters self-confidence and the independence in managing the local economics.
Okay, so it will motivate the people because they are being valued. So I want to know, since they are being valued, in what ways, what type of assistance or support does the government provide to cooperatives that join the red and white cooperative programs?
The government provide various support for the to the cooperative participating in one of which is through the business capital loans or financing facilities with low interest rates, rates and repayment schemes that are friendly to the village cooperatives. So this support aims to ensure that cooperatives have sufficient capital to run and grow their business units without facing heavy financial pressure. And to, in funding, the government also support, supports cooperatives by expanding the market networks for the products in both online and offline, and through the collaboration with the relevant government agencies and national market networks, cooperative products are given promotional space at various events and on digital commerce platforms.
Well, yeah. So the government is being supportive towards cooperatives, especially cooperatives in the red and white cooperative programs. What oversight system does the government use to ensure, yes, they are assisting and also supporting, but what kind of system that they use to ensure the transparency? Because it involves with budgeting, money. So what do they use to ensure transparency and accountability of cooperatives?
So for the oversight system, the government coordination among the institutions such as the cooperative office, regional inspectorate, and even the external audit bodies to ensure that cooperative operate according to the regulations and the good governance principles. So each institution has its own role, like ranging from administrative supervision to regular operational audits, and cooperative under the Koperasi Merah Putih are required to submit periodic business activity reports to the relevant agencies. And this approach ensures synergy and prevents overlap of the overlap in the cooperative monitoring process. And to formal institutional oversight, the transparency and accountability are also ensured through the annual members meeting, or RRT, which serves as the highest decision-making forum in cooperative. So during the RRT, all financial reports, work plans, and business outcomes must be presented openly to all the members. And the government encouraged this meeting to be held consistently and supported by facilitators from the cooperative office or assigned advisors. So, and with the active member involvement in internal oversight, cooperative can maintain trust and improve the quality of the management. And so for the business transparency is also a key aspect of the cooperative monitoring system. So where the cooperative are required to have clear and accessible recording and reporting system for their members through the digitalization of financial and business system. So yeah, this allows both members and the government to track cooperative business development on an ongoing basis.
So the tracking system is indeed very, very, you know, very, very detailed and also complex, but it is trusted. So I have the last question for you, Mbadian. Mbadian, how are success indicators and evaluation carried out to assess the impact of the program on village communities?
Yes, so success is not just about money. So although yes, members' income going up is one clear sign, but it's also about how involved the villagers feel. And if they attend meetings, join the decision making and also work together, it shows the cooperative really belongs to them. So another sign of the success is happy and hopeful villagers. When people feel proud of their work. They're excited about their products and also see the improvement in their village. That's when you know the program is working, right? So yeah, I think that's the...
So you can just sense from the people reaction towards it, and it's just the people. The answer is the people of the village itself. Yeah. Okay, what a great way to end this afternoon talk of the day. Thank you so much, Badian, for insightful conversation and for joining us today. It's inspiring to see how real change can begin at the village level through strong cooperative synergy. Stay tuned for more stories that highlight local innovation and community-based progress only on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
of Indonesia.
Sampah menjadi energi listrik yang terbarukan. Masyarakat bisa terbebas dari bencana, dari polusi, dari limbah.
Dari perusahaan itu ada salah satu warga saya, bahkan banyak kerja di situ, jadi penghasilan buat mereka, keluarga mereka ada yang kerja.
Ya mau gak mau saya jadi makan sisa orang di atas sampah, tapi saya syukurin. Penting saya sehat, keluarga saya semuanya sehat, itu alhamdulillah.
Under a mountain of garbage, which is as tall as a multi-story building, amidst the pungent smell and invisible gas haze, something was beating. Not a heartbeat full of panic, but a technological beat. Here, in Bandar Gebang Bekasi, West Java, a pile of unsorted and unprocessed waste has been turned into an energy mine. This is how Indonesia defuses the time bomb of ecological disaster and ignites its future. Every day, 7,500 tons to 8,000 tons of waste come from Jakarta, piling up, stinging, and potentially exploding, as happened at the Lewigaja landfill on February 21, 2005, that killed 157 people. But now, behind that pile stands a building with a power generation machine, a renewable energy producing powerhouse, a power plant powered by waste. The powerhouse is managed by one of the technology partner companies of the central government and DKI Jakarta province. The potentially explosive methane gas is then diffused by flowing it into the processing machine. Not just taking profits, powerhouse also has social and humanitarian responsibilities. Tata Sasmita, as a person in charge of the Bandar Gebang powerhouse machine maintenance team, said that although it was the private sector, it was part of the stakeholders, along with the government in disaster response efforts.
Sampah itu sebenarnya rezeki juga buat kita di sini. Tanpa sampah kita tidak menghasilkan energi listrik. Bagaimana kita mengolahnya? Dan ini salah satunya kita di pembangkit listrik tenaga sampah ini, kita manfaatkan sampah menjadi energi listrik yang terbarukan, dan itu menghasilkan. Karena kita kerjasama dengan DKI dan kita mengolahnya. Masyarakat bisa terbebas dari bencana, dari polusi, dari limbah.
From mountains of garbage, Bandar Gebang Powerhouse can produce renewable energy that can light up many homes. One generating unit is capable of producing 1 megawatt of electricity, which is enough to supply the needs of more than 800 households simultaneously.
Kita ada pengolahan sampah di sini menjadi energi listrik. Kalau kita nggak olah, mungkin di sini sampah gunung ini makin nambah. Karena sampah, tiap hari sampah dari DKI dibuang ke sini. Kalau kita nggak olah, di sini ada, mungkin ada polusi, ada banyak kendalanya, banyak macamnya. Kita meminimalisir. Kalau untuk normalnya, Pak, kita per unit kan 1 megawatt. Kita ada 6 unit. Kalau kita kalikan 1 megawatt, berarti 6 megawatt. Untuk ini kan kita salurkan ke PLN. Ini jalurnya Jawa Madura Bali.
1 megawatt itu, Pak. Bisa untuk berapa rumah, Pak?
Banyak rumah. Mungkin bisa satu desa, mungkin 1 megawatt kan megawatt tuh, bukan kilowatt tuh. 1 megawatt 1000 kW.
This is not easy and is full of challenges and threats.
Itu untuk 6 megawatt kita harus perawatan benar-benar di lapangan, di zona ya, Pak. Di zona itu kan kita perawatannya banyak kendala, banyak apa, Pak. Kendala kita kan faktornya dengan alam.
ada hujan, ada panas, ada petir, otomatis kita turun. Kalau ada hujan turun, ya turun.
The mountain of garbage that have been considered a source of problems are now a cleaner and more sustainable source of energy through proper mining and processing. The head of the methane gas well construction team Powerhouse, Arif Supriyadi, explained that the methane gas used for power generation is sourced from more than 100 wells scattered in the Bantar Gebang area.
Untuk langkah awal kita melakukan penggalian, Pak. Kedalaman depan itu 6 meter, ke belakang sekitar 8 meter, Pak. Untuk panjang sendiri 90 meter sampai 100 meter kurang lebih. Lalu kita kasih pipa, lalu timbun, lalu jadi sumur, bisa kita ambil gasnya, lalu mengalir ke power hose, kita ambil gasnya gitu, Pak.
Ada berapa sumur semuanya?
Untuk sekarang ya sekitar 100 lebih lah, Pak. Karena kan kita bukan hanya satu zona, Pak. Untuk satu zona 2 dan zona 3 ada gitu, Pak. Punya.
In the past, local residents lived like sitting on a time bomb. Trash landslides when it rains, the odor is pungent, disease attacks. The head of the neighborhood unit 001, community unit 005, Ciketing Udik Village, Bantar Gebang Subdistrict, Jamar Baharudin, whose neighborhood is directly adjacent to Bantar Gebang, witnessed the transformation of a landfill established since 1989 into an integrated waste management site, which is more environmentally friendly.
Ini radius berapa, Pak, dari Bantar
Gebang? TPA.
Iya, berapa meter ya?
Ada 500 meteran dari rumah ke lokasi.
Yang berbatasan langsung, Pak, ya?
Iya, benar. Berbatasan langsung pembuangan.
Kesehatan warga apa gimana, Pak? Ada dampaknya, Pak?
Dampak ada ya kayak batuk, gatel, itu pasti semua udah jelas karena air, udara. Tapi dari saya sebagai aparatur kelurahan, kelurahan juga udah ada, puskesmas ada, posyandu ada. Aman sih sejauh ini. Alhamdulillah makin baik sekarang. Bukan membandingkan yang dulu ya, tapi buat alih fungsi ke DKI dari segi kendaraan bagus-bagus, alat bagus, penataan, pengelolaan bagus. Kebetulan di samping itu power hose itu dari sampah diambil gasnya, jadi jadiin listrik itu. Dari perusahaan itu ada salah satu warga saya bahkan banyak kerja di situ, jadi penghasilan buat mereka, keluarga mereka ada yang kerja. Hampir 5-6 orang ada di situ yang warga saya.
The same thing was conveyed by a local resident, Sukisri. From her and her family, Bantar Gebang Waste is a blessing and promises a better future.
Oh, banyak juga. Saya merantau usia 12 tahun. Nah, saya hidupnya di atas sampah. Makan sisa orang. Tapi saya nyaman sampai sekarang. Saya nggak pernah mengeluh. Selama saya ke Bantar Gebang aja, tidur saya di atas sampah itu 1,5 tahun. Tidur dipakai atas keranjang ayam sama suamiku. Jadi saya udah nggak heran lagi sama sampah.
Jadi sampah bisa menghidupi Ibu Sri?
Oh iya, betul bisa. Asal saya mau kerja, itu tetap bisa menghidupin saya.
Dengan keluarga?
Iya, semuanya. Anak cucu saya, suami saya, emang makan dari sampah. Saya nggak punya modal apa-apa. Jadi modal saya modal tenaga. Jadi ya saya kerjanya emang di sampah. Saya sekolah enggak. Ya mau nggak mau saya jadi makan sisa orang di atas sampah. Tapi saya syukurin. Penting saya sehat, keluarga saya semuanya sehat. Itu alhamdulillah.
The changes don't stop at Bantar Gebang. The government is pushing the waste industrialization ecosystem from a mountain of waste to a national energy chain, and it is carried out from upstream to downstream. According to Minister of Environment, Hani Faisal Nurofi, to Voice of Indonesia, the Indonesian government is highly committed to becoming the world's largest renewable energy producer. at least by 2020. National waste production has reached almost 68 million tons. The Indonesian government is also targeting a concrete waste solution by 2029.
Mulai dari kegiatan pemilihan di bagian hulu untuk kemudian dilakukan pemanfaatan ulang maupun pendauran ulang, kemudian juga tetap masih di bagian hulu, juga pemerintah daerah di beberapa lokasi juga menginisiasi semacam perkumpulan masyarakat untuk mengelola sampah. Kami kadang-kadang menyebutnya dengan bank sampah unit. Kemudian di bagian tengah itu teman-teman dari Kementerian PUPR dan beberapa pemerintah kabupaten kota se-Indonesia juga telah membangun material recovery facility. Jadi suatu fasilitas untuk kemudian merecovery material-material sampah yang berhasil dikolek atau disampaikan ke tempat situ untuk kemudian kembali dipilah lagi untuk dibedakan mana yang bisa dimanfaatkan. Setelah itu di akhirnya ditimbun di landfill, sebagian sudah menggunakan sanitary landfill, artinya telah melakukan penimbunan dengan kaedah lingkungan. Bawahnya ada kedap air, kemudian ada tempat penampungan penangkapan metan capture, kemudian pengurukan. Di sisi produsen juga, teman-teman produsen juga mencoba menggerakkan apa yang disebut dengan producer responsibility. Jadi upaya para produsen untuk mengambil kembali kemasan-kemasannya untuk kemudian dilakukan pengolahan maupun daur ulang dan penggunaan lebih lanjut. Kemudian berjalan waktu melalui keputusan Presiden nomor 12 tahun 2025, peraturan Presiden tentang rencana pembangunan jangka menengah nasional, maka sampah diminta selesai ditangani secara konkret di tahun 2029 dengan target di 2025 ini harus mencapai 50%. Jadi dari 39% existing hari ini, Bapak Presiden mentargetkan di angka 50%.
Indonesia is not only reducing ecological impact, it is also harvesting the hidden energy from every scrap left over from the city and the entire region. It is hoped that landfills across the region can follow in the footsteps of Bantar Gebang towards an Indonesian free from waste problems and independent of renewable energy.
Sudah lupakan segala cerita.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Satu cinta kita Indonesia.